You'd take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Matthew and then chapter 13. Two more very short parables from Jesus that will give us an opportunity this morning to reflect on the nature of the kingdom of heaven. And so let us now hear God's very words from Matthew chapter 13 and picking it up at verse 31. Verse 31. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, we pray now that you would bless the teaching of your word. We pray that your word would be a living word to us, that you would do that miracle of taking something that is in a book with paper and ink and letters, and that you would now through your Spirit make that to be something that would go deeply into our hearts, speak words of comfort and grace, and bring about new life. We pray for that miracle. So help me as I speak, O Lord, and help my brothers and sisters as they would listen. And may we all be richly edified by the power and wonderful dynamic grace of your kingdom that has come and is present even in this hour. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. On May 5th, 2000, millions and millions of people all around the world received an email. And in the subject heading, the email said, it said, "I love you." And then there was a file or an attachment, and the attachment said, "Love letter for you." And if you opened that file, you infected your computer with something called a worm. And it messed up your Windows personal computer and also sent a copy of that worm to the top 50 people on your address book so that they got it. And so literally within the course of a day, this virus or worm that began in the Philippines spread all around the world rapidly, one computer to another, to another, to another. An example of something that starts out really small and spreads all around the world. And while that is a negative example, Jesus is giving us two parables that speak in a positive way of the nature of the kingdom of heaven that starts out small but is powerful and potent and spreads all around the world. I suppose it's one of the things that we struggle with sometimes, to think that church and church life and Christianity in general sometimes feels kind of small. Sometimes the church seems weak, seems torn asunder, seems impotent in some ways, and it's easy to become disillusioned, wondering, you know, is there really anything going on? But Jesus' parable is going to help us to understand the dynamic nature of the kingdom of heaven. So dynamic that little seed, even if we receive it by faith, can even now change our lives on April 28th, 2013. So many miles and an ocean away from where it started. And so, let us rejoice in the nature of the kingdom of heaven and in its incredible potency. And then 3 points, that we not ever be disillusioned by its apparent smallness. Secondly, that we not be cynical about its transforming power. And that we've been finally, that we not be hopeless about its glorious future. So in Israel, the mustard seed was the smallest of all of their cultivated seeds. Very, very tiny. And though it could, if in the right circumstances, grow into a bush that would be somewhere between 6 or in, even in optimal conditions, 12 feet tall, almost becoming functioning like a tree, strong enough where birds could build their nest in it. And by the way, the NIV, the birds perch in it. Actually, it really is the word nesting in it. The birds find their home in this bush. Same as with the yeast. The yeast starts out very small, but it works its way through a very large lump of dough. The NIV says it's a large lump. The Greek actually gives us specifically, it's 3 satas, which is 50 pounds worth of dough. So this lady was making a really big amount of bread that would feed maybe 100 people. But a little bit of yeast works its way through that lump. So the point in both cases is, don't you underestimate the power of the kingdom of heaven because it appears to be small. Now, I have placed a mustard seed on every one of your chairs. You're probably sitting on it. So just take about 30 seconds and see if you can find it. Just stand up, see if you can find. You might be sitting on it. Maybe you've already knocked it off. But if you find, anybody? Little mustard seed, can you find it? Yeah, just look around. Grace Ann, you found yours, I can see. You got yours, okay? Everybody, okay? I know it's easy to miss it. You could have just overlooked. In fact, I think all of you overlooked. Did anyone notice the mustard seed even when you threw? Okay, so we had a couple that were tuned in and saw the mustard seed even before you sat down. But the reality is, most of you missed it. Most of you, because it's so small, you overlooked it. Now this is tragically true of many in our world who, even though the kingdom of heaven is here, it's missed. It's overlooked. But looks can be deceiving. Is this not Jesus' point? Think about how small the church, okay, here we go, how small the church was in Jesus' day. A small group of disciples with a leader who eventually was crucified by the Roman authorities. That would have been really easy to think, nothing going on there. Nothing significant about that. But looks are powerfully deceiving. Within 300 years, the church had grown to between, it's estimated, 5 and 8 million Christians peppered throughout the Roman Empire. And even as we look back from our vantage point, a kingdom that has reached the shores of this country and even has landed on the corner of Sturdy and Evans Avenue in Valparaiso, Indiana on April 28th. 2013, and is alive and dynamic and life-giving and life-changing and hope-giving and wonderful and beautiful. It, can be something that I think we can all get caught up in, to think that we have pretty small little lives. I mean, let's face it, most of the world doesn't know that any of us exist. We live in a small little town in a small state. And maybe you think you got a small little job, small little church, small little ministry, small gifts, small abilities, and others are big. Others seem to have better gifts, more affluence, more influence. But don't take smallness for granted. Within the seed of the kingdom of heaven is incredible power that unleashes incredible forces that change lives. There was a song, you might remember it back in the 1990s. Let me just read a portion of it. He says, I dreamed I went to heaven and you were with me, and we walked upon the streets of gold behind the crystal sea. We heard angels singing, then someone called your name. I turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. He said, friend, you may not know me now, but then he said, but wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus into my heart, thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm so glad you gave. Then another man stood before you, and he said, remember the time a missionary came to your church? His pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took that gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Then one by one they came. Far as your eyes could see, each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices that you made, they were unnoticed on this earth. In heaven, now proclaimed. Francis Schaeffer wrote a book years ago called No Little People, and the point being, in the kingdom of heaven there are no little deeds. Remember, Jesus said even a cup of water given in his name has its reward. There are no little deeds. There are no little people. There are no little churches. There are no little towns. There are no little jobs. No little families. There are no little callings. There are no little Christians. Point number one of this parable, don't be fooled by the smallness of the thing. Great powers are unleashed by that little seed and by that yeast. The second point that we want to note here is that it speaks, does it not, of the transforming nature of the kingdom of heaven. We might get to wondering sometimes, you know, does being a Christian really make any difference? And does the church really make a difference in the world? But in both the mustard seed parable and I think particularly in the leaven parable, it's the significance of transformation. That the kingdom of heaven is alive and dynamic and spreading and life-giving and life-changing, and it transforms and transfigures things. I mean, think of bread without yeast. You know, did you ever have that happen, or are you trying to make biscuits or something and they turn out to be like rocks? Can you break your teeth on them? Then think of healthy yeast. Think of a loaf of bread out of the oven. Smells lovely, nice and airy and soft and piping with steam. Cutting that baby open, putting some butter on it, melting through the little pores. There's something. Think of the incredible transformation that is brought about by yeast. From a lump of hard rock bread, or a lump of hard dough, to a loaf of bread. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus' point is, transforms and changes things. Okay, well, let's have a little theology test here. When does eternal life begin? Okay, this is your theology test for today. When does eternal life begin? Now, I would think that the typical answer might be, and some of you might have thought this, well, that's easy. I mean, eternal life begins after you die, right? You die, you go to heaven, and that's when eternal life kicks in, right? I want to ask for a raise of hands if that's basically your answer. That's actually okay. It's not that that's wrong, but I would give it maybe a D on a test. It's not that it's wrong, it's just that it's so incomplete and lacking, okay? So yeah, I mean, surely, eternal life is eternal life in the future, that certainly is important, and part of, very much a part of what eternal life is. Let's see, so some of you smarter people again, I won't ask for a raise of hands here, but you might say, well, eternal life begins when you receive Jesus as your Savior. Now that's good. In fact, that's very much how the New Testament uses the term. When we receive Christ, we are receivers of eternal life. As many as received Him, to them He gave the gift to become a child of God, and gives us eternal life. So that's, I'll give that about a B minus. And it's still a good answer. And you pass. You can be pleased with that answer. But eternal life doesn't begin in the future. And it doesn't only exist when we have received Christ. But eternal life actually begins in the other eternity. When you go back to eternity past with the life of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, before you were made and before anything was made, living in wonderful, perfect harmony of dynamic life and love and joy. The very essence of God is life. So God is a heaven unto themselves. And I know that doesn't make English sense, but it's actually a very good Trinitarian sense. That God is a heaven unto themselves. And eternal life begins in that essence of the divine household of the triune God. And when we become Christians, when we receive Christ, we are made partakers of that life-giving, eternal, divine life. We are made to taste that. And then eternity future is simply a more fully experienced finding and knowing of that divine, eternal life of which we are allowed to enter into. But the point here is that that divine life, brothers and sisters, is present today. The way a lot of people think of the Christian life is that, well, you become a Christian, and then when you die, you go to heaven. And that's pretty much the gospel, right? Receive Jesus as your personal Savior, so that when you die, you go to heaven. But of course, the problem with that narrow understanding of the gospel is that it kind of bypasses everything in between that, right? Which is actually where we are right now. We are somewhere in between there. As if the gospel and the kingdom of heaven isn't doing anything right now. But these parables say, no, that's not right. The kingdom of heaven is a dynamic force that is present throughout the whole process. And so, let's think about how that divine life, how eternal life, comes to us on April The 28th, 2013, Sturdy and Evans, Valparaiso, Indiana. One of the things that we find oppressive is that we hear these voices of condemnation. I'm too sinful. I'm too weak. I'm too stupid. I'm too old. I'm too damaged. I'm a failure. And those voices, when they get in your head, that affects you today, right? That affects how you live life, how you go to work, how you interact with your family, how you worship God. Those voices get into your head. But the kingdom of heaven is a voice that says, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. What if you really believed that? What would your life be like if you really believed that in Christ there is no condemnation? Think about that. How different your life might be if you really received that word and that power and made it a part of how you thought about your life. Or, I suppose another example is that we all come to a worship service and we feel very burdened, right? Stuff going on at work that's stressing you out. Relationally, things are stressing you out. Brokenness in family, brokenness in community, in your marriage perhaps. You're afflicted by various burdens, right? If you had a list and you say, all of my burdens that I carry today, you'd make a pretty impressive list, I bet. What would it mean to you if you took Jesus' words to you today that he came to take up your burdens and carry your sorrows? That's Isaiah 53, right? What if you really believed that? What would that mean to how you would live your life today? A Savior who came and so fully stepped into the human condition, who bore all those things, who gets all those things that burden you. He's born Himself and promises as your Savior to carry the weight of that burden for you. What would it mean if you really took Him seriously when He says, come unto Me, all you that are weary and burdened. Find rest unto your souls. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. And you'll find rest unto your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. What if you really brought those things that are burdening you today, that are afflicting you and making your life miserable? What if you really gave those things to Christ? Say, this is too heavy for me. I need You to carry this for me. What would that mean if you really believed that Jesus came to carry your sorrows and carry your burdens? So the point being here, and we could think in many different ways, how the kingdom of heaven, it's not about something you did when you first got saved and something that benefits you after you die, but it is a dynamic presence now where God is speaking grace and mercy to you in your personal world. Comfort in pain. Strength amidst weakness. Mercy and grace amidst failure. Jesus' point is that the kingdom of heaven is like that. It's dynamic and it spreads and it's always alive. It's never stagnant. It's growing. It's the ultimate, well, I guess we'd have to call it the antivirus, right? That says, I love you. Love letter for you. But this one, when you open it, opens up life and grace and peace and comfort and strength amidst weakness. I love you. I love you is an incredible strength. To be loved by God in being reconciled to Him through Christ. So that Paul can say, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? This is real life stuff here. Real life. No pie in the sky. This is real life hard stuff. For your sake we face death all day long and we are considered like sheep to be slaughtered. No! In all of these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels or demons, nor anything else, the present or future, height or depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a difference it would make if you really believed that. And then finally, yeah, there is a future aspect to this. There's a loaf of bread at the end that's yummy. And there's a wonderful mustard bush that birds are finding their homes in and nesting in, resting in. Yeah, there's a final expression to this kingdom of heaven. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night, and they will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. What an amazing little seed. Who'd know that this little seed would unleash such incredible power that could change the world? What an amazing, amazing seed. Brothers and sisters, love it, receive it, cherish it, adore it, water it, nurture it, and as it grows, it is transforming the world from the kingdom of this world to the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. Let's pray. I'm just going to give you a moment here to meditate and think. And if God has spoken to you, if whatever it would mean for you to have a heart that is in a receiving position of this seed and of this leaven, and whatever difference that would make to you today, just give you a moment to pray and think about that. Lord, we thank You and we praise You for making us aware of the kingdom of heaven. How easily we could have missed it. But how we thank You for the grace of being able to see it, to receive it. We pray that it would do its work, changing, renewing, restoring. And how we thank you for the incredible future when this kingdom finds its final expression. And so, Lord, we thank you for the kingdom of heaven in its many facets. May your kingdom continue to come unto us. In Jesus' name, amen.